Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Call. Let's see who'll win this battle of strategy.
Riggins. He's going to go all the way. Unless Blackwood can catch him, and he can't.
What a tremendous play. But the key to this play was motion.
Live from Uptown Alley in Manassas, Virginia. Grant Nanny here on 106.7 The Fan. No GP. He's down for the count with the flu. Toby Altizer sitting in for us. We got plenty more to come on this radio program. Knock off work early. Come out and see us and hang with your pals. We'll be here all show long. Thrilled to jump to the hotline now with our guy Kirk Morrison, Sirius XM NFL Radio. You can hear Kirk every Tuesday as he co-hosts the Sirius XM Blitz with Bruce Murray from 12 to 3 Eastern on Channel 88 and the Sirius XM app. Kirk, good afternoon, man. Thanks for the time.
Oh, man, no problem, man. Thanks for having me.
You got it. All right, let's go in chronological order here. We'll get to Washington. We got plenty to talk about with that game. But let's start Houston and Kansas City. I don't know how Kansas City has done it all season long. I know how they're going to do it in the postseason with Pat Mahomes, Andy Reid, Travis Kelce turned up to 11. But here they are once again. They seem inevitable. Is there a way Houston wins this football game?
Yeah, I think there's always a way, and the way is that Houston getting off to a quick, fast, hot start in the game. And what I'm saying, getting a couple turnovers early on, scoring on their first couple of possessions, that will get them going, and it kind of puts some doubt in the minds of the Kansas City Chiefs. Regardless of what they've done prior, there's always that moment of doubt in a football game, and they have to create doubt. That's what Houston has to do, create doubt throughout the game, and still don't make it close in the fourth quarter, because if this game is close in the fourth quarter, you feel like Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, they will find a way to get things done and probably get past this little round and get to the division round.
With Houston last week, I think a lot of people were thinking that the Chargers were going to get it done. They find a way to beat them. What worked for them last week that they can carry over to this week?
Yeah, see, I was a little bit different. I don't think anybody, from just tradition and just looking at the wild card round of the NFL, especially since they went to the expanded playoff with 14 teams. To me, the home teams always win. I mean, last week it was 5 of 6 home teams won that game. Obviously, you mentioned Washington. We'll talk about it a little bit later. But the 5 home teams, or even the Rams who are considered the home team, they all won. So I was not surprised by that. I think you feed off the energy at home at your place. But that all changes in the division round. That's why this is one of the best rounds of all of the NFL playoffs, even better than championship weekend, because we get high-level football, and more than likely we get the division winners all going up against each other. So that's what makes this the best round of all of them. And I think that's why it's going to be a much better games this week as well.
Kirk, let's say that Kansas City wins this game against Houston. Who's a tougher matchup for them between Baltimore and Buffalo?
Both. I mean, let's just be real. We're talking about they're going to go up against an MVP finalist, right? With the top 2 winner in the MVP category for the NFL this year. There is no right answer to this, fellas. Like, you can try to corner somebody into it, but you're going to get Lamar Jackson or you're going to get Josh Allen. Like, that's just what it is.
Good luck. Yeah.
Good luck. Two hungry franchises. Baltimore trying to win another Super Bowl, which they haven't done in a long time. And then obviously Buffalo, where I spent my last 2 years of my NFL career. You know how hungry, how starving they are for a Super Bowl. So it won't be an easy say, oh, who would you rather play against? Both teams are going to be fantastic. But, you know, I think we keep forgetting January 20th, 2022. And everybody said, well, what's that date? That was the last time the Kansas City Chiefs lost a playoff game. And that was that Cincinnati, that AFC championship game. That was the last time they lost a playoff game, was 2022. They've spanned almost three calendar years, and that's why I think it's just such a difficult task for the Texans.
Skipping ahead to Sunday before we get to the Commanders in a little bit, Rams and Eagles at 3 o'clock. I thought the Rams looked incredibly impressive in their win. And then the flip side, I didn't necessarily think Philly looked all that impressive against the Packers. What does Philly have to get figured out? Are they, you know, is Jalen Hurts going to be back to the guy that, you know, is winning them ball games, or is he going to be a little bit of a liability down the stretch here? What do you like in this one?
It's a week-to-week league. And what you saw last week or weeks prior, that all goes out of the window. It's all about what. How can you win the day? That's what it matters. It doesn't matter if you won by 30 or if you win by one. Is can you win the day? And I think Philadelphia is built that way. I think the Rams are also built that way. A lot of people talk about their matchup back in week 11 for the Rams and Eagles. And the Eagles had their day against the Rams. I think we just have a much better matchup. Now, weather could also be a factor. You know, you may have snow as well. What does that do for how this game is being played? So a lot of factors in what I think could be a really, really tight game against, like I said, two division winners. I don't think it's a situation of quarterback, can he get back? It's can you devise a game plan for one day? It's Sean McVay versus Vic Fangio. It's Kellen Moore versus Chris Shula. Man, that's the matchup I'm looking at, these coordinators and head coaches.
If you watched the NFL between 2005 and 2009, you saw Kirk Morrison, our guest from SiriusXM, tackle people more than 116 times every single year. Kirk, let's go to this Rams team most specifically. What they've had to deal with adversity-wise, I understand this is just regular sports adversity. People are dealing with real-life adversity, so that caveat obviously applies. But it's pretty unusual not to have your home game. It's unusual to kind of have to fly around. They didn't know if they're going to be able to practice when they got back in the whole nine yards. But my question is just about that defense. Was that just a Minnesota-only thing, or did they find something? And all of a sudden, that group to me looked like they were flying around, really comfortable with themselves.
No, this was the succession plan to Aaron Donald, and a tip of the cap to Les Snead, who had to put this plan together. After the Super Bowl, remember for the Rams, the Super Bowl 58, the Rams had to, I'm sorry, was it 56? I'm sorry. I'm so many Super Bowls.
Oh, I can't do it either, Kirk. I'm like, you know, remember the one a couple years ago?
Yeah, Super Bowl 56. So this is actually Super Bowl 59 approaching, but Super Bowl 56. After they won, Aaron Donald had to make a decision. Would he come back or would he not? And I thought that was what planted the seed for Les Snead. And all he did was, in the last 2 years, were draft defensive players to help succeed and ease the pain of Aaron Donald retiring. He's drafted Byron Young, Kobe Turner, Braden Fisk, and his first-round draft pick since 2016 is Jared Verse, who obviously made the Pro Bowl and should be Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Animal.
This group has matured so well. The chemistry that they have, everything. From a first-year defensive coordinator and play caller in Chris Shula, this defense has gotten better week by week, and that's what I think the Rams are not talked about enough. They've been winning games with their defense, not necessarily their offense.
Well, I do want to talk about that offense real quick. I thought Matt Stafford looked really, really good. People that weren't, you know, counting the Rams as a legit shot.
Don't say that. You got Matthew. Don't say Matt. You're going to get in trouble. You say Matt Stafford around him, he'll give you a side eye. It's Matthew.
Stafford, but go ahead.
Matthew Stafford, I thought, was really, really good in this one. It seems like people are maybe not giving them enough credit. I mean, this is a guy that's won a Super Bowl. Can he be a difference maker down the stretch and get them to that point? Because you look at, like you talked about, that defense is playing a lot better. They've got a solid run game. Puka Nacua didn't go crazy in this last one. Cooper Kupp didn't go crazy, but Matthew Stafford looked really, really good in this one.
Yeah, I mean, he's the most experienced quarterback in this final round, right? This final eight teams that are left. He's got the experience. He's a Super Bowl champion. And remember, the Rams really took their foot off the gas last week. They were up 27-3, so they didn't have to throw the ball deep down the field. They played a little more ball control. And so I feel like this is one of those games where everybody's saying, okay, who is it going to fall on? I just know if you give the ball to Matthew Stafford with 2 minutes to go, either down or up, he's going to make the right decisions to get you to victory. That's what it comes down to. If this is a game in which everybody's jumping in the pool, you're just trying to get the Philadelphia Eagles to the deep end and see if they can tread water a little bit. And the way that the Rams have that chemistry, he's got players he can work with. You mentioned Puka Nacua. I still think this is a monster Cooper Kupp game, as he may have a good matchup. This is going to be fun to watch. But Matthew Stafford will continue to show why he's still playing at an elite level, where you may not put him in your top five rankings of quarterbacks, but he'll show you that he's still one of the top quarterbacks in the league.
SiriusXM's Kirk Morrison with us here on G&D. Toby in for a sick Grant. All right, let's go to the Ravens and Bills. This is the game of the weekend. I know we're here in Washington, Kirk, and we're obviously got pretty a lot invested in that one, but just in terms of a pure on-paper football matchup, this game is perfect. You already mentioned the MVP finalists and kind of the stake on this thing and how just incredible it is. The weather, is it a factor? Just how do you see this game going? What's the key? What's important?
I got a question for you guys, though.
Yep.
If this game was pay-per-view, would you pay for it?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
No question.
Absolutely. I don't know what the number is where I'd go, that's too much. But it's more than it should be.
It's quite high.
Yeah, that's a great point.
I'm just saying, like, we have all of these great fights, right? These monster fights that you have in Vegas and all these, UFC fights. But I said, if they put a pay-per-view, $34.99, for Ravens-Bills on Sunday evening, it would shatter records. I mean, I know at least clearly over 2 to 3 million people would shell out to watch what is a once-in-a-lifetime type of game. We're talking about Bills, Ravens, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. I mean, this is bigger than Brady versus Manning, right? This is bigger than some of those matchups that I think we grew up watching. So it has everything to do with, we think, the legacy of these quarterbacks moving forward. Even though, hey, you may have a date with Patrick Mahomes ahead, I feel like this may be one of the biggest playoff matchups I've probably seen in my lifetime.
You talked about home field advantage being so big in the wild card round. You got Buffalo at home in this one. Is it going to be enough to swing it Buffalo's way after what happened in the regular season in this matchup?
I always say playing in Buffalo my last 2 years, I don't know if it's necessarily home field advantage, because I feel like both teams are going to have to play in it. And we're talking about if it's snow, one thing. If it's cold, it's still the same weather that's in Baltimore as well. They play in frosty temperatures as well. So it's really about, can you have a solid running or rushing attack if you're in Baltimore while you're in Buffalo? And that's why you went out and got a Derrick Henry. That's why you went out and bring in all these offensive linemen. That's why Patrick Ricard is still the 30th time all-pro fullback, tight end, whatever you want to call them. To me, that's the big factor in this game. It's not even the home field advantage. I just think that which team is going to establish their identity. Is it the Bills? Is it the Ravens? That's what it's about.
All right, Kirk. Kirk Morrison with us here on G&D. Talk about Washington. We are here in D.C. We are underdogs, as Washington should be, quite frankly. Detroit's excellent. They're a buzzsaw. They are so, so good. Write me the script, though, for Washington going to the NFC title game. How do they beat Detroit?
Wow. Turn the ball over. Getting turnovers, creating turnovers. If they're able to create some turnovers and convert on third down, that's what this game's going to be about. Is Jaden Daniels being special on third down to keep the chains moving? Because that's how you're going to quiet that crowd. You talked about home field advantage. It is a factor in this game. Maybe not as much so, I think, in Buffalo. But when it comes to Detroit, that place is going to be loud. It's going to be raucous. How do you quiet that crowd? It's converting on third down. just running the football effectively and creating a couple of turnovers, which they were able to do against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's how you're going to win this football game.
Defensively, how does Washington slow down this Detroit offense? I don't feel like they're going to be able to stop them. I think they're still going to put up quite a few points, but how do they slow them down?
It's really stopping the run, that two-headed monster. Jahmyr Gibbs, also David Montgomery. We'll see what his status looks like coming back this week from injury. But if you're stopping this run, I would definitely feel like that helps out in slowing down Jared Goff and his play-action passes. Look, they don't really throw the ball deep down the field. And if you go back and look at some of the numbers, I remember I looked at it, it's probably three-quarters of the season, they don't get a lot of pass interference calls in terms of their wide receivers. So I think you could play some sticky man coverage, allow, you know, Bobby Wagner to kind of roam the middle a little bit, take away those underneath routes. I think you've got a shot at disrupting their game, but it really comes with taking away the perimeter runs from Jahmyr Gibbs and Jameson Williams. If you're stopping the run, man, that is going to be the key. They are predicated on what? Being physical and tough up front. If you're stopping that run and putting it on Jared Goff, you can get Jared Goff five interception Jared Goff, or you can get four touchdown Jared Goff. Honestly, which one shows up would be probably how this defense plays against the run.
I mean, you talk about importance of stopping the run. What are you doing to stop that? Are you putting extra guys in the box and just loading it and depending on the man-to-man on the outside? Are you blitzing? Like, how are you going about trying to slow down that run game?
Yeah, this is what Dan Quinn has been coached to do, right? This is what he's been a head coach to do. His system, his scheme, getting guys up the field, penetrating, and bringing an extra safety down in the box. He's going to have to do a little bit of everything. Your corners are going to have to tackle as well, because that's what the Lions try to do to you, right? They get you out there on the edge and the perimeter with Jahmyr Gibbs, and then they'll do that in round with Jameson Williams. Your corners are going to have their big boy pads on. They're going to have their mouthpieces in, chin straps buckled, because that's how you limit their game. They're not a big between-the-tackles team, right? When Montgomery's in, yeah, maybe. But they get a lot of stuff done where out there on the perimeter. So Bobby Wagner's got to be sideline to sideline. You know, Frankie Louvu, these guys, man, if they're able to handle business, trust me, I think they have a big shot of limiting the explosive play that they get in the running game on the perimeter.
Kirk, what about the noise? It's something that we haven't talked a ton about. We probably should have. That Detroit fan base is ravenous. That building is loud. Yeah. It's going to be bat bleep crazy. It's a rookie quarterback. I know he doesn't play like a rookie, but still, this is an offense that, you know, a lot of time runs tempo and communication is so key. What are the logistics trying to handle that, and will that be a challenge? Will it be a factor?
I don't even know if I should say this. And this may be blasphemy when it comes to NFL stadiums. And maybe the people of Detroit may find me and blow up my mentions on Twitter. But if you said the most raucous place to play, would you think it would be Ford Field or Death Valley Tiger Stadium on a Saturday night at night?
Yeah.
I think he's been in those environments down at LSU. He knows how stadiums can be loud and how it's – when you play in the SEC, everything is loud. So I think he's played in these big moments. He's played in these big crowds. And for me, it's his ability to take off and utilize his legs when it's not there. You're not going to be able to audible as much. It's going to be maybe one, two, if it's not there, take off and go. And that's what you saw, what, last game versus Tampa. When you needed the big play, it was who? Jaden Daniels. And he did it not only from the passing from the pocket, but he did it when you needed him most, when you put the ball in his hands and say, go get us a first down. That's how it's going to be able to do it in that raucous crowd, is his ability to just say, you know what, go be a playmaker, which he's been doing ever since he's been in high school.
I mean, you look at this offense, they haven't been able to run the ball, it seems like, for the second half of the year with outside of Jaden. Is that something where if they can't run the ball, they're still going to be able to get it done, or do they need that run game to get it done in this one because you want to control the ball, because you want to be able to have the ball in your hands to keep it away from Detroit?
You just want to be able to convert on third down. You want to get, if it's Austin Ekeler, getting him, you know, the ball on those check downs. That's what you're going to have to do. Brian Robinson is going to, you know, get hopefully, hey, 3 yards, 4 yards. If they're stubborn about it, so this is a big game for Cliff Kingsbury, right? And if I'm Cliff Kingsbury, I've got a chip on my shoulder. I'm going against Ben Johnson on the opposite side. and everybody's talking about Ben Johnson, but if Cliff Kingsbury is able to put together a nice game plan, they'll be talking about Cliff Kingsbury after this game. So I put it more on Cliff to see how physical he wants to make this game. But if you don't stack up early on in running the football, then just how do you convert? That's what the game is about. How do you convert, stay on the field, move the chains, and try to play ball control? We always think it's about running the football, but to me, it's honestly just, you know, getting to third down and getting Jaden Daniels in third and five. I like my shot with Jaden Daniels at third and five. No one's talked. We haven't even said Zach Ertz's name. I think Ertz is going to be huge. Like, he's going to be big in this game. Can you get him the football almost third and fives, right? I mean, you got to pass it and fear him. if you don't, we saw it last week versus Tampa. If they don't do that, he could be the guy that can, you know, I think can be open on those third and shorts to keep the chains moving as well.
Kirk, this is great, man. Really appreciate the time and insight, and enjoy the games this weekend, buddy. Thank you.
Oh, man, best of luck to you guys up there, man. Somebody in that region is probably going to a conference championship game, hopefully.
Yeah, think about that, man. Very, very cool. Good stuff. Appreciate your time, buddy. Thank you.
All right, no problem, guys.
There he goes, Kirk Morrison, SiriusXM. Love having him on his insight. Toby, you're too young. You sleep. That dude was nasty. He hunted and he tackled everything. If you had the football, he was going to tackle you. He had just casually averaged 130 tackles a year for a handful of seasons. Really appreciate Kirk jumping on with us. So we've been talking about this all show. This is a big one. You're aware of it. It's a divisional round playoff game with a chance to go to the conference title game for the first time since Washington beat Detroit in 1991. It was actually 92, for the 91 season. Don't mess up the crest if you make another one. Point of the dude's story is this. This is the biggest game since 800-636-1067. Beltway Blitz at 4 wants your calls now. 800-636-1067. Interesting to get some perspectives on this, because people around my age in their 40s remember some of the real big games or their parades afterwards. Old Tobias over here is 18 years old, barely able to vote and buy nicotine. Don't remember any big games. His biggest game was like a week 7 tilt against Atlanta one time. So I want to get their perspectives on that. 800-636-1067 is the phone number. Your call's next.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's got to be intimidating. 50,000 people screaming, "We want Dallas." Play action fake to Dorsett. Hit the ball well. Set up a screen. Batted in the air. Picked off by Darrell Grant. Touchdown, Washington Redskins. I don't believe it. Unbelievable.
That's your We Want Dallas game. Sorry about that. Sorry about that NFC title game at RFK. Sorry about Dexter Manley tip in the pass. Sorry about Darrell Grant rumbling to the hoose to go to the Super Bowl. Sorry about that memory. Sorry about that parade. By the way, we didn't go to that parade when I was a kid. My dad pulled off one of those all-time dad lies where you're just a kid. You're like, "I trust you." And you're British. "Daddy, I trust you, I do. Everything you say makes perfect sense to me, Daddy. Paternal figure." He's like, "There are no kids allowed at the parade."
Oh.
"There are no kids allowed. You just can't do it. Otherwise, son, I would love to take it, but there are no kids."
It's a great lie, by the way.
I turn on the TV, I'm like, there's a kid. Anyway, there's another kid. He's a kid. How come there are kids? Too late. It's already over. But we went in 87. You couldn't hear anything in 87. Actually, again, I always say 87 teased in 88. Well, we went, and the sound system was, you know, 1980 sound system, so you'd hear a... And then we'll go, "Yay!" You know? And then the next person would talk, "That was yay!" You know, you didn't know?
Yeah.
But it was joy, just hugging people. Welcome back. Grant Danny here on the Fan, hanging out with you. No GP, but yes, Toby. He is here with us as Washington continues to build the foundation of success on and off the field this season. It's time for you to plan for your future as well. As the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Condori and Morod can help you update your last will and testament or set up a revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that Grant and Danny sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. We're live at Uptown Alley in Manassas. This place is awesome. You can do whatever you want to do. You want to roll? You want to get a league night going? Get that happening. You can eat delicious food stuff, which I have. There are adult sodas. I see people drinking. They're drinking alcohol, Toby. Are you comfortable?
I'm okay.
Okay, good.
I'm okay.
Good. I've had water. I'm just saying, I've had straight water. A little bit of ice. I like water on the rocks. That's my drink of choice. But we'll be here until 6:30. Come on out and say, hey. The topic of the moment, we got a little winning off the field we'll do next. We got the Beltway Blitz at 4. This is a big one. Got a chance to go to the NFC title game for the first time since the early 90s. I ask you first, Tobias, as our resident young person. For you, this is the biggest game since?
2012 wild card game against the Seahawks, RG3's rookie year. It's the only team that I felt had a chance to do anything. in my lifetime. You think back to some of the other playoff losses, Taylor Heinicke diving for the pylon. Even if they found a way to win that game, they're not going any further, right? There was no chance they were winning. It was fun, but they're not winning. I think about the Packers playoff game. Maybe you felt like they could beat the Packers, but they weren't going further than that. 2012 felt special. It felt like they could keep going, and to lose that one was a devastator. But that one felt like the only team in my lifetime that could go somewhere. This team has that same feeling where it could actually go somewhere. They've won a playoff game. You could maybe get to the NFC Championship game. You're just one 60-minute game away from that. So to me, it's that 2012 wildcard game.
800-636-1067. Biggest game since? Here's my answer. And that 2012 game was amazing. That was huge. It was Griffin. It was Mania. It was so exciting. Seven in a row. We know the whole story. But there's a backdrop for me as a fan. My belief had all but been ripped away by that point. Okay? It was coming back, and maybe Griffin was going to be the difference maker. But it wasn't like the return of Joe Gibbs. So you see, to us, the gentlemen and ladies of a certain age, Joe Gibbs meant ultimate victory. Not okay. It meant he's here, it's going to be fine. We just went through that darkness of the 90s when he took off for the first time after modern free agency and the team struggled under Richie Pettibone, Norville, Eugene Turner. They were just a hot tire fire. Steve Spurrier, unserious at best as the head coach for a couple of years. Just a mess. Here was Joe Gibbs, the man who fixed it. Joe Gibbs was going to fix it. He was going to bring all of Joe Gibbs' buddies with him, which was correct because they were great. He's going to bring back Don Bro. He's going to do the Joe Bugle bit. We're going to do the dance, and Joe Gibbs is here to make it happen. That first year, taking over for a bad team, they weren't very good, but my God, they smacked you in the mouth. You were going to catch hands. You were going to be dealt with. Teams that played Washington mostly lost the next week because of how physical it was. It was a fight every time you played them. 2005 comes rolling around, a scrappy, admitted on the under-talented, but that's what these Redskins teams were back then. That's what they were called. This wasn't always the most talented roster. I mean, 91, they were as talented as anybody that's ever been. But for the most part, some of those teams in the 80s, it was, you know, the undrafted free agent. It was Timmy Smith. It was, you know, the guy that nobody else wanted but fit what Joe Gibbs wanted to do. Innovation. Everybody pulling the rope in the same direction. It felt like when they went to Seattle, if they beat that Seattle team, who went on to lose in the Super Bowl that year to Pittsburgh. If they beat Seattle, a lot of us thought, here we go. This is the beginning. Joe Gibbs, year one, did almost exactly what he did the second time, year one. A group that wasn't that great, but man, they were tough. You didn't want to see them on your schedule. Year two, postseason, you get something great going. It felt like the beginning of something. So to me, January 14th, 2006, ultimately would be a loss. Against the Seattle Seahawks. To me, it's the biggest game since then. It's the biggest game since that divisional round 20 years ago. 20 years ago, thinking this was the beginning of something. It's taken me a long time, Tobes, to believe again, but I'm here to tell you, what we're doing right now, this is the beginning of something. Not fraudulent, not empty calories, not eating a donut and wondering why I'm fat later, a.k.a. 7-9 Ron Rivera making the postseason. Yes. This is real. And it's the first time since then I felt that way.
Yeah, it feels so good. It feels like, Danny, last week you have the high of the wild card round, and you kind of come off a little bit as the week. Right now, it's like ready to explode, the excitement around this team, and it feels like they can actually go do it. It feels like, what if they just went and did it, right? Like, we do these what-ifs all the time with this team about different things, and in the past it's been what if they were good, or what if this is what if they could go to the Super Bowl, Danny. Mm-hmm. What if they win in Detroit and they're one win away from the Super Bowl, and it doesn't feel like a unrealistic dream? Like, it feels like something that could happen. Like, we're breaking down actual football things and saying the quarterback on this side could do it. So I think you're right. I mean, the last time they were in the divisional round, I think it's appropriate to say, like, that team felt like it might have been able to go somewhere. That's kind of how I felt with RG3. I just really didn't get to appreciate that experience. This team feels like it can go somewhere. It's been so long, at least a decade, since you felt like this team could do something. They could do it. They could do it tomorrow night.
800-636-1067. Biggest game since? Let's go to Jamie and Annandale on line one. Jamie, biggest game since?
I'm going to agree with Toby. I was at that game. I was at the prior game when they beat Dallas to win the division. That's it for me until If they win tomorrow, then go back to the 90s, Danny. with all those games at RFK, I was at the Dexter Manley sack and the Daryl Grant. I mean, my birthday tomorrow, I'll be 53. And I remember those days yesterday.
Love it. Appreciate you, dude. I want it for you. I want it for us. I want it for the whole fan base, man. It's easy to dream. Let's go to line two, Glenn in Fort Washington. This is the biggest game since.
This is Glenn. I go by the name of G, but you forget. Gus Frerotte in the Detroit Lions game, all right? And then we proceeded to go to Tampa Bay. Sean King, they robbed us on that pass in the first play.
Totally right. Yeah, no, I remember. I appreciate you, G. Yeah, that we got screwed in that game. I'm saying we again. Washington got screwed in that contest. Absolutely. Still, get a snap off, get a kickoff. I'd love to see what might have happened. But, yeah, they beat Detroit in that 99 wild card game. They avenged a loss during the season, one of their worst games of the year, where Brad Johnson, who was outstanding that year, really struggled. The offense wasn't good. There wasn't certainty that they would win that postseason game against Detroit. Throttled them, handled them. A lot of fun. Went to Tampa, and it turned into a rock fight. Let's go to line three. Here we got Chris in Hyattsville. Chris, this is the biggest game since?
Bears divisional round in 1988. Daryl Green game.
Why do you go back there? Now, I love that game so much, obviously, and it's like one of my core memories, but why that game?
So if you remember, the Vikings had upset the 49ers the day
That's
before.
Right.
And the 49ers were the class of the NFL. And probably second to that was the big bad Bears, who weren't too far removed from a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember being so excited because if we could get past the Bears, it was we all thought it was going to be a cakewalk to beat the Vikings and get to the Super Bowl. Detroit is the class of the NFC. And I think if they beat Detroit, I mean, it's game on. Pack your bags. Book your tickets to New Orleans, in my opinion.
Love it. Let's go to Will, line four in Rockville. Biggest game since when?
Yeah, Danny, you and I are a similar age, and that 05 team, that game, when we knocked out Sean Alexander in the first quarter of the concussion, I thought, we got a chance to win this thing, and then we couldn't do anything. And then that third down play to Santana, they kind of sealed our fate in that one. That was tough. But biggest game since 05, in my opinion.
Love that. Yeah, I mean, that one was nip and tuck. Washington was within a score the entire time. I remember I think that's the game. There are two Seattle games that I sometimes run together for me. But they recovered a kickoff that bounced in between a bunch of guys in perfect scoring position, moved back 7 yards and kicked a field goal. And you went, oh, that was deflating, man. What an empty, empty deal that ended up being. Seattle was a better team than went to the Super Bowl that year, but you could have stolen one. And that's kind of the point. You get an advantage like that, you get something good happening, you got to take advantage of it. Appreciate the calls on this one, 800-636-1067. Normally, it's such a big day. It's such a big game tomorrow. We might just not do this. But I feel like we're all in such a good mood. The vibe is so good, dare I say, here at Uptown Alley in Manassas. Let's win off the field together.
Love it.
You could talk about how you're going to watch the game tomorrow. You could talk about who you're watching it with. You could talk about a normal winning off the field. However you want to do it. I got a couple examples. I will give them to you. Toby's got some. We'll get this done. Let's win off the field together. Because remember, this ain't the Bruce era no more. He's done screwing us over. He did that for a long time. He's gone. That little twerp is gone. Now, this ownership group, with this GM, we go to the postseason sometimes. That's how it goes around here. 800-636-1067. Beltway Blitz at 4. Let's run off the field together next. Mr. Calla, what precedes that? I see. Yeah. Okay. So so if I put my hand, then I got to go up, and then I got to stay there, and then go up, down, up. Okay. Gotcha. Thank you, Mr. Calter.
Left hand up?
No. Both hands. Both hands in the air is fine. You can put your right hand up for some reason.
You said left hand up?
No. We should say that. People should be way more embarrassed. That's Toby. I'm Danny. This is Grant and Danny. You notice I didn't say that's Grant, but that's Toby because Toby's in because Grant's out. That poor guy has himself a D1 All-America case of the flu. 800-636-1067. The vibe is good. It's a good vibe. It's very strong. We're talking about a football team playing in Detroit for a chance to go to the conference title game for the first time in 33-plus years. Okay? Everyone's happy. So if you're going out, went off the field together. Let's do it. 800-636-1067. Tobes, if you don't mind, I can explain how I'm winning off the field. So it's got to be something teeny, tiny, small, and insignificant. It's got to not matter to anybody else. But we give breath and life to that small little victory that you're going through just to celebrate with you. Because years ago, Bruce Allen, who stunk, stood in front of the assembled reporters, and he said these words.
We're winning off the field, but we got to start winning on the field.
And this group has, Bruce. You rube. This group has won on the field. In fact, 12 games for the first time since 1991. Add a 13th, why not? Sure. That's a wild card win. On the road. I remember your playoff win that time. Actually, you didn't get it. You weren't even here yet. You didn't win any playoff games, Bruce. Screw you. Anyway.
Winning here's on the field.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the clarification, Bruce. Miss you, buddy. Here's how I'm winning off the field, Tubbs. Grant has the flu.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan's probably got the flu. As of right now, wait, let me get a wooden chair here. Let me knock on it. As of right now, I don't have the flu. But if I do, I have already picked up the prescription that you're supposed to get if you do get the flu. I'm already taking it preventatively, pre-flu prescription. I never even heard of that, but I'm doing it. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
Tobes.
Yeah, this is incredibly lame off of that because Grant has the flu.
Yep.
Because Ryan has the flu.
Yep.
I'm out here hanging out with you guys. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
See what you did there? You capitalized and you built on it. Oh, wait. Darius? You have one?
Yes, I do have one.
Please share it, buddy.
Grant has the flu.
Yep.
Ryan has the flu.
Yes.
Toby, you don't have the flu. Danny, you don't have the flu. I don't have the flu. So therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
Oh, I see. This is our version of the flu game. It's or don't have the flu game. That's us.
Yeah.
800-636-1067. Let's go to line one. John in Fredericksburg. How are you winning off the field, sir?
Well, this is going to be a big one. I'll prep you. So my grandfather raised me to be a Redskins fan because my mom didn't care. So I was going to be the kid that cared. My grandfather passed away 15 years ago, and at that point, she became a fanatic. I am winning off the field because tomorrow is my mom's 69th birthday.
Oh, I love it.
And she is getting a win. And here's what's better. She knows this is her big birthday present, but I don't care how much it costs. We're going to this game in New Orleans in 3 weeks if it happens. So we're going to be winning off the field, and we're going to see us winning on the field.
Winning off the field?
There you go, John. Atta baby.
I like it.
Atta baby. And by the way, yeah, go ahead. Fire it up. You know what's so cool is it's not one of those years where the Super Bowl is in a dumb city.
No.
That's down there in New Orleans. John, if you get to go to New Orleans, you swing by Brennan's. You let the general manager, Mr. Christian Pendleton, you got to let him know, hi, Christian, my name's John, and I'm a Washington sports fan. And watch the joy roll in. That place rules. I hope to see you there. 800-636-1067. Let's go to Bobby in Alexandria. Can you please tell me how you're winning off the field, Bobby?
I am winning off the field at this point in time because I've got six daughters, raised, grown, and I finally had a grandson, and his birthday is today, and we've got a Ricky Bobby theme. Because if you ain't first, you're last.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, we are winning off the field. And
winning
we're
off the field.
First.
I love it. Thank you, Bobby. Thank you, Bobby.
A lot of birthdays.
First of all, it's interesting to me. I noticed that, too. We have two calls, two birthdays that are relevant. I also anytime you can do whatever that is, where his name's Bobby, and you incorporate some sort of like Will Ferrell pop culture type situation into a birthday deal, and it's a theme, I'm in.
I never had any of those.
I never had a single one of those. The only thing, so obviously you know, my first name's Danny, right? Or Daniel, but everybody called me Danny. The only thing I got was Danny from Caddyshack, you know, was Judge Smales. I'd like to come over to mow my lawn, like that kind of stuff. And I was like, no, I just want Nintendo games. Let's go to line four. Jesse, how are you winning off the field, sir?
Fellas, I'm winning off the field because I got out of work early, picked my daughters up from elementary school, and we are headed to Uptown Alley in Manassas.
Oh, I know who's there.
Chill with the radio show and meeting one of my best friends who's going to bring his sons as well. That's how I'm
winning off the field.
Excellent, Jesse. I wish I had your girl. Fantastic. Thank you for calling. That's how, people, we win off the field. We did it together as a community. I thank everyone for your participation in that. Beltway Blitz time. John Jansen's going to join the program at 5 p.m. We've got a whole lot of Washington football talk to kind of go through here on the Beltway Blitz. We'll spin you around every angle from this game. We're talking about a divisional round playoff game with a chance to go to the conference final. Got a couple numbers that I found interesting as I'm watching the Capitals highlights from last night, including Ovi's game winner.
Oh, yeah.
A couple nuggets there, but a whole bunch of Washington talk to come because there's a football match tomorrow. It's a big one. You might have heard about it. It's Grant Danny here on The Fan, live from Uptown Alley in Manassas.